said at this, man, where is everybody today? Everybody's out getting ready for tonight or something, but that's okay. We are here, and we're here to hear what God has to say to us. He's been speaking to me clearly on a number of levels, and I just pray that he'll help us today. I want to highlight some things. First of all, for 2018, I don't know if it was announced, but I've called what is called a solemn assembly. And that's when everybody comes, children, adults, teenagers, we all come to pray. And the reason we're coming to pray is not just so God can give us something, but so that God could make us into something. And I believe God wants to do something. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. He wants to do something with everybody. Amen. And it doesn't matter if you have many gifts or you have few gifts. He wants to simply use your gift. He wants to do phenomenal things with each and every one of us, and I'm convinced of that. So much so, over the last year or so, as the leadership team will tell you, I have begun doing things like creating space for people. Creating space for people to function in what God has called them to be and do. And so that's going to continue in 2018, but we're going to come together to pray so that the space that was created will become something in itself in the lives of the people you encounter. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So in this new series, I have a new preaching series coming up for this month. And this preaching series is about prayer. And there's a number of people who will be participating in this preaching series with me, namely, most of all, my Lily. My Lily will be in this, definitely. So we will have a preaching series about prayer. And so this morning, my particular assignment is to acquaint you with the house of prayer. I want to acquaint you with the house of prayer, because often we have thought about God's house, and this house for being so many other different things. But God created you, created this house to be a house of prayer, first of all. Praying people are people who bring about change. Yeah, so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. But I have to tell you a little bit about my Christmas, first of all. By the grace of God and by his wonderful mercy, I did not receive any more Argyle socks this year. Which I thank God so much for. But I have received some superhero socks. I have one presently, Iron Man. I have received the Incredible Hulk. I have received Captain America. And I have also received Spider-Man. And I love my superhero socks. But at saying so, talking about superhero socks, I know that in my heart, for 2018, he wants all of us to be superheroes for the kingdom of God. Yeah. Not just 2018, but in the years to come, he wants us to fly high and do phenomenal things for his kingdom. Every one of you in here have that potential to do that. As I shared over the Christmas holiday, just like Mary, God put Jesus inside of Mary, and Mary brought to birth what was originated in heaven. Every one of us, God has put something in us that originates in heaven. And he wants us to bring it to birth down here on earth. You have more inside of you. Do you know that what is inside of you is bigger than what you are? And he wants to bring it to birth down here. I know sometimes we think of ourselves as insignificant or little, or it doesn't matter if I'm there or if I'm not. But let me tell you something. In the eyes of God, you are important to him. In my eyes, every one of you in this place is important to me. We cannot do anything without us collectively doing it together. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Amen. And so that's the premise of the house of God this morning. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56. I guess I'm going to have to be very careful this morning because Isaac has got me cranked up. So if I get too excited, I know some ears are going to be dropping off. I pray God will help me in that. Yes. Isaiah chapter 56. And we're going to read the first 8 verses. Are you here? You with me? I don't hear no pages moving. Oh, yeah, on the phone. That's right. Forgot about that. On the phone and the tablet. Yeah, yeah. There's technology happening up in here. I'm telling you. Isaiah 56, chapter 1. Keep justice and do righteous, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. That's exciting news on its own in itself, because he said, my salvation is about to come. Now, we know that something is happening here at Abundant Life Church in Lake and Heath, that God is stirring something. And what I believe God is stirring is beyond our human expectation. It's beyond our human capability. It's breaking us out of a religious mode into a spiritual dynamic that God wants to do in the earth. And I believe, I sense that he's bringing forth this salvation. Can I tell you something else? Our salvation into the kingdom is only a doorway to something bigger. Mm-hmm. Our salvation, when we came to Christ, it was a doorway into something much bigger. And God has something much bigger for us. Yes, I'm thankful that I'm saved, but he saved us for a purpose. He saved us out of something to get us into something. And that into is Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. There's so much more for us as believers than just knowing him as my Savior. How many of you want to know him as healer? As baptizer, as deliverer, as the king, as the altogether lovely one? How many of you want to know him like the prophet Ezekiel said, he was the wheel in the middle of the wheel? I want to know him in more ways than just my Savior. So let's keep reading. And it goes on to say, verse 2, blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. That's the news that we also need to proclaim, that we serve a God who is for everybody. And I'm thankful that this church represents the diversity that is in God. Because he is a God who is for everybody. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you did or who you've been with and did it with. He is a God that is for all people. Amen? Okay, I'm almost there. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to keep up pace with Sister Jo over here. A couple weeks ago, she just ran like a track star, didn't she, in here? She shared that word that was so powerful, so dynamic. And I'm just going to try to keep pace with her. Y'all younger guys, I have to. I'm getting old, but I'm going to catch you. Me and Ray, we're going to get there. We're going to get there with them, right? Right, Ray? Oh, man. Okay. In verse, it keeps on saying, the Lord will utterly separate me from his people, nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree, for thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, even them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. That's phenomenal. How many of you wanted something but don't seem to can't get a hold of it? Some of you have wanted things out of relationships that have not manifested. But God says, I have something for you that is better than what you were expecting. I've got a place and I've got a name for you. I've got a name, a position for you in a name that is above every name. Oh, that's good news, isn't it? That he has a place for me in Jesus Christ, who has a name that is above every name. And at his name, I don't care what my circumstances are, that knee has to bow. I don't care what sickness I have. In the name of Jesus, by his glory, that knee will bow too. Come on, somebody in this place. Yes? So let me keep reading. I'm getting excited ahead of time. Verse 5. Even to them I will give in my house. Verse 6. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast to my covenant. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted in my altar. For my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel, yet I will gather him, others besides those he has gathered to him. I want to talk to you about a house of prayer. Now, in chapters in Isaiah, these particular chapters, in chapters 52 through 56, these chapters primarily talk about the coming of Jesus and his offering of the gospel, his presentation and offering of the gospel to the world, the initial victory of that gospel, the initial success of the gospel coming in, and as typified in the book of Acts. It talks about this initial onslaught of the gospel, but it also talks about the ultimate victory that we will see at the last day, when we see the enemy himself thrown into the pit. It talks about this whole particular picture. But in chapter 56, in verse 9, it begins something else. It starts talking about an invasion of foreign armies into the land. Now, I don't know about you, but what I have seen throughout 2017 is an invasion of all kinds of different thoughts. An invasion of all kinds of perspectives that are not godly perspectives. An invasion of thoughts that are based on humanism and not on godliness. And these things have invaded the world, and even they're disrupting and causing challenges for the church. That the church itself is halfway between, at times, between this onslaught of humanism and this in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're mixed up, we're torn in which way to go and what to choose. Can I encourage you today? We're not dependent on the wisdom of humanity. We're dependent upon the wisdom of Almighty God. I'm not dependent upon this country's leadership in itself, because I know there is a leader who is higher than this country's leadership. I am not dependent on the President of the United States, because I am dependent upon the King who reigns over all in this world. And my dependence, and I look for the wisdom of God in him, not in the situations and the circumstances and the people who are causing these things to happen. It's got to be God. Yeah. If it's not God, I remember Peter, he was on the road to Damascus. He says, to whom shall we look? You have the words of eternal life. There ain't nobody else that has what Jesus has. So I don't look to anybody else. I don't look to the decisions of mankind. And listen, beloved, they are sinners. They're supposed to make up messed up decisions. That's what they do. You forgot when you were a sinner, you made messed up decisions. That's what sinners do. They mess stuff up. But that should put more motivation into us to pray for them, that they'll see the light of who is really has the answers to our circumstances. And we'll pray until they see that light, because we know that's what will turn things around. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
I'm going to stay with me. So it becomes with this warfare. But I want to tell you that God has always wanted his house to be one of prayer. Over the years, to some degree, that, as I was saying, that desire to see that has diminished. We have become focused on programs, projects, political affiliations, and not the affiliation of the kingdom. And there's a reason behind it. It's because sometimes we think of prayer as just some Hail Mary hope that it will happen. If I just pray, it may happen. And if I just pray, I hope it'll happen. Well, we tried everything else. Let's just pray. Let me tell you something. Prayer is not some hope and a wish. Prayer is you being able to communicate with God, who has absolute control over all mankind in every situation, and Him acknowledging your prayer and doing something about your prayer. That's who we're praying to. We're not praying to somebody who's going and trying to make it happen. He can make it happen whenever He wants to, because He's God. He has it like that. Are you hearing me? Okay. Are you there so far? Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, said that the point of praying is to open yourself up to God so that God can do what He wants with you. Well, Vince Williams says that the point of praying is to open up yourself to God so that God will open up Himself to you. Some of you didn't get that. I said, the point of prayer is for you to open yourself up to God so that God will open Himself up to you. How encouraging is it to know that when you're going through a tough time, that there is a God taking care of you in the tough time? Because He promised you. How many of you ever seen the supernatural hand of God at work even in the time of your problems? I remember when your oldest daughter was very, very ill. She was on the operating table, and the doctors called me at work and said, "You need to get here quickly. Lisa, you need to get your family here because it does not look good for your daughter." Well, that upset us. We began to pray. She was praying. When I finally picked her up, we were praying all the way there, and some peace of God came upon us, and God spoke into our beings and said, "That's okay. It's going to be all right." In fact, He spoke a word to Lisa that this, what was it, that she would live to... Okay, let me do that how she said it. She will not die, but she will live to proclaim the glory of God. And we have seen her, to some degree, struggle in her relationship with God. But guess what? God brought a white knight into her life. Thank you, brother. Brought a bright white knight into her life and has inspired her to reach out to God. And listen, beloved, the end is not yet. There is a plan that is yet to be fulfilled. And I want to encourage every one of you in this place who have struggled over the years. The end is not yet. There is going to be a plan, and it is going to be fulfilled, because God says He will do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to that power that's working in you. Somebody say amen in this place. He's going to get it done. So don't you worry. I'm sorry, Mikey. We'll be okay, man. We'll be. Oh, man. So that's what the main purpose of prayer is, not just to get stuff from God, but it is for us to get to know God. Because when we get to know Him, we know what He will do and what He won't do. And so we're not disheartened by the stuff that He doesn't do, because we knew He's not going to do it. But we're encouraged because we know the stuff that He will do. And the Bible says when we pray like that in accordance with His will, He's going to make it happen. Are you hearing me? Now, the first thing He asks us to do in this house of prayer, this house that He wants us to do, we have a responsibility. God is going to do some things, but He also has a responsibility. We have a responsibility within this context. He says, that we must never defile the Sabbath. He said, I don't want you to defile the Sabbath. Now, listen, please don't misunderstand me. We're not talking about a day. Because if you remember, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a church. My grandmom was a preacher. And boy, she was tough. She didn't play, boy. She's a tough old girl. And I remember we used, at Sunday school, after Sunday school, all of us kids used to always break out of Sunday school and head around the corner to the nearest store to buy some 2-4-penny cookies, 2-4-penny candies, and a carton of juice called Jungle Juice. Y'all don't know about Jungle Juice, see? That's way before your time. Jungle Juice, y'all don't know nothing about. But Jungle Juice was the best fruit punch you can get at that time, back in the 60s and 70s. Some of y'all don't. Yeah, y'all weren't. I'm sorry. There's only a few people here that was born in around that time frame. And the only possible one that can know about Jungle Juice is Brother Ray. And you don't know about Jungle Juice, do you? Oh, yes. And so we used to get this Jungle Juice. We'd get all this stuff, and we come back to church. And after we had eaten, the tongues all red from candy and all the different stuff. And my grandma would say to me, boy, where you been? Store, grandma. Boy, you need to keep the Sabbath holy. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about a day. Because the Sabbath is talking about a rest, a place of rest. And if we were talking about a day, I should have every day as a Sabbath rest. The Bible says in Hebrews that when God first completed his works, he rested. When he completed everything, he rested from his works. As also you should rest from your own works. Your own works. I want to emphasize that. You should rest from your own works. Because we're not talking about doing what we want now. We're talking about doing what he wants. And the only way I'm going to do that is if I stop doing what I want to do and enter into his rest, which is doing what he wants done. Have you ever noticed that when you're obedient to God, everything seems to go smooth and you're relaxed? And then when you start trying to do it, it's like haywire, and all of a sudden you're stressed. Sometimes Miss Liddy, when I get stressed, she has a way of bringing me back, Brother Marlon, because I don't know why it's happening like this. What's going on? God ain't hearing me. He ain't listening to me. And she senses where I'm at, and she'll say, it's okay. It'll get better. Let's pray. I don't want to pray. I want to know why it ain't happening. It's going to get better, darling. See, the voice of reason never comes to us to appease our position or appease what we feel. God speaks to us in that quiet voice because he wants to bring you into a place where you can be comfortable in what he wants you to do and not stressed in what you're trying to do. He wants to bring you into a place where you are comfortable with what he wants you to do rather than stressed out trying to do it, trying to become it, trying to make it happen. Okay, here we go. So he says, keep the Sabbath. Hebrews 4, chapter 9, verse 9, verse 11 says, there remains therefore rest for the people of God, for that he that is entered into rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall away with the same example of unbelief. You know what he means by that? What he means by defiling the Sabbath is this: you start taking the responsibility instead of allowing God to be responsible. And so what happens is you try to make it happen. You start trying to do it. You start trying to push it forward. And then all the frustration sets in. And then what comes with the frustration, there comes a certain amount of bitterness. And in Hebrews, the Bible says you have to be careful from that, because bitterness will enter into you and not only affect you, but defile many other people around you. Let me tell you something. Bitterness is the most destructive thing in the body of Christ, because it spreads like a cancer. You know, you don't hang around people who talk nonsense to you, all right? They come up to you talking about, "Hey, Brother Marlon, I don't know about that guy Mikey, man. Ever since he started going out with that girl Lissy, I don't know." See, because Lissy was meant for me, Brother Marlon. And who he think he is, coming in here, taking the woman that I had my eyes on. I don't know who he thinks he is. See, that's what bitterness does. And then soon, Marlon might say, "Yeah, that's right. That brother was here, and he was treating her nice, and all of a sudden this guy comes in here. Wait a minute, that's wrong." And then Marlon runs over to Brother Jeff. "Brother Jeff, did you hear that, man? You hear what Brother Mikey did to so-and-so? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you?" That's how bitterness works. It just spreads like a cancer. But when people come to you with that kind of stuff, you know what you need to do? "But Marlon, I don't know about that guy, Mikey." You know what he needs to do? Have you told Mikey that? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you talked to Mikey about it? Mm-hmm. You need to send him to the source. Because when people do that, obviously they haven't considered the person that they're talking about, their life, what they had to go through, where they are, what they're doing. They're just talking out of a lack of knowledge. So you need to help them out in the situation. Oh, you just don't understand. Oh, I tell you what, let's go talk to Brother Mikey so he can help you understand. This erases all of that stuff. Are you hearing me? Because we want to be in the rest of God. We want to be in that place of the Sabbath rest. Now, what is God going to do? And that's our requirement. We need to keep the Sabbath rest. We need to stay in the place, in the position of rest, a comfortable place in our relationship with God. But what is next? First of all, I want you to go and we're in Isaiah 56. I want you to look at verse 4 and 5. It says, "But thus saith the Lord, the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that now shall not be cut off." He wants, first of all, in the house of prayer, he wants you to be satisfied. And in Philippians chapter, I think it's 4:11, he says he wants us to be content. Paul said, "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." He wants you to be content. I was asking God, I said, "God, what are you saying? What do you want to do?" God said to me, "Vince, in my house, I don't want there to be dissatisfaction. I don't want any of that in my house. I want my house to be full of expectation, and I want my house to be full of satisfaction. If I am not satisfied with God, and he can't satisfy me, nothing else can. Nobody else will. So if I don't have none of the single ladies are here today, and I was going to prophesy with some single, oh, Gina. I was going to prophesy. She waved me off. So, what does he want to do? He says that, listen, eunuchs, we know that eunuchs can't have or produce children, and they gave up that potential. In this particular text, they gave up that potential for their jobs. For the particular jobs that they had at that time, they gave up that potential because they had to do with guarding the ladies of the palace. And so they gave up that potential simply because they didn't want any temptation. They didn't want any. They wanted to be true to what they had to do. Listen, beloved, there comes a time in our walk with God when we want a real, see, God's, listen, God, he keeps wooing us, but there comes a time where he makes us make a decision. Are you all the way in for me, or are you just coming after me for what I can give you? Are you all the way in, or are you just coming after me because I'm going to make your life easier? I'm going to make your life more palatable. So now you're coming after me for stuff. How many of you know God doesn't want us to come after him for stuff? He wants us to come after him simply because we want him. And if we come after him for that, listen, look, can I? Miss Liddy, come here for a minute. I left my prop. So you have to come up here. You have to come. See, what we want is somebody to give us and just keep giving us stuff because we ask for it. Yeah. So we come to God and we say, God, I need this, I need that. How many of you know a marriage won't work on that principle? But we want God to take it. See, my wife doesn't ask me for stuff. She just loves me, don't you? She just loves me. For 40 years, she's just loved me. But you see, this Christmas, I was walking around and I was looking for presents, you know, and I said, she hasn't asked for a thing. What can I get her? So I saw this, I got it. I saw that, I got it. I saw this, I got it. I saw that, I got it. And she didn't ask for anything. But because she didn't ask for anything, and she loves me just because she loves me, I tried to give her everything that I can give her. And see, God's not after you. See, we come to God just because we want stuff. God's trying to get us to understand, I want you. You should just want me. It is me and my presence in your life, my love for you is what sustains you. It's what gives you contentment. It's what gives you a thankfulness in your heart. You know, if God's working in your life like that, you can't tell me you won't be thankful for what he's doing. And you won't express that thankfulness because you got to. Just like I express my thankfulness to her all the time. I know y'all getting tired of it, but that's all right. I still express my thankfulness because she doesn't want nothing from me but me. How many of you would want somebody to keep coming to you, Jeff, I want this, I want that. Jeff, can you get me this? Can you get me that? That'd be okay for a week or so. But after about a week, you're going to be in trouble, homegirl. That's how it would work for about a week. God wants us to want him, not the stuff. Are you with me so far? And so, he wants us to be satisfied. Now you think about it. The eunuchs, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't produce anything. Couldn't make anything happen. Couldn't do nothing. And yet God says, what I'm going to give you is going to be better for you than what you would have had if you were able to produce it yourself. What I'm going to give you is going to exceed the reason why it's going to be better than what you can produce, because what I'm going to give you is going to exceed your imagination. Let me show you what he says. This is what he says in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, in Isaiah, he says, I'm going to give you a place and I'm going to give you a name. Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2 explain that whole concept. It says this, Ephesians 1, 18 to 21 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling of his calling. What are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality, might, and power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in also that which is to come. Now, if the writer of Ephesians says that he put Jesus, when he raised Jesus from the dead, he positioned him. Oh, this is going to be something else right here. He positioned him in a place far above. His name is far above. His place is far above. Are you hearing me? He put Jesus way above everything else. But guess what? He not only just put Jesus there, but he put you and me there too. Woo. Let's read it. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Beloved, we have a place and we have a name that is far above every other name. I don't care what circumstance you are facing. He has placed you high above that circumstance. High above it, far above it. He has seated you in a heavenly realm. I love that, you know, because it tells me something, that because I am seated in a name that's above every other name, it doesn't matter what you can name on earth, it can't overcome what God has put inside of me. His name is far, and he's put me there. Now, there's something else I want you to understand and see. That word place, name and place, the word translates the place. The word translates a place. The actual word translates as a hand, a place, a hand. He has seated me in a place, in a hand. In a hand. And Jesus said, I hold all things in my hand, and nothing can take you out of my hand. And my Father is greater than I. He holds all things in his hands, and nothing can take you out of my Father's hands. But this is a place, he says, a place, and it's a position that every time we start to try to make it happen, I wish I had my statue, because I had a basketball statue from when I played basketball for the over 30 team at Lake and Heath back in 91. Some of y'all were not born then either way. Back in 91, and I played on Lake and Heath over 30 team for the hospital, for the med group, and the statue's taking a shot. So what I was going to articulate was that every time we feel like taking a shot and trying to make it happen, we remember whose hands we're in. And we don't have to make anything happen, because he's making it happen. And he's got you in his hands. So it would have been far more impactful if I'd have had my statue. Y'all liked it better, because it was a nice shot, nice statue, you know, trophy. Taking a shot. You know, we always are tempted to take that shot to try to make it happen. But we're in his hands, and he'll make the shot happen. Okay, now finally, I want to say this. What else is he going to do in his house? He's going to restore joy. That's what it says in the text. In verse 7, it says, even I will bring the holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. That's what prayer does. It makes you joyful. Do you like being around joyful people, or do you like being around people who acted like they sucked on lemons and pickles? You know, I like being around people full of joy. Make me happy. You know, they make me happy. They make me laugh. Sister Cheryl with her quirky way of making you laugh. I like being around people who do that because laughter is a medicine, the Bible says. It does good for you. I don't like being around people who, and I love people, but I don't like being around people who always talking like it ain't ever going to happen. You ever been around? I don't know, Brother Vince. It's always been like this. I don't think it'll ever change. Yeah, we'll always be you and me and the other three. And that's the way it'll always be. That devil is a liar. Because God doesn't work like that. The Bible says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What we see here, and of course we know this ain't it for us because we know who attend here, but it's just the beginning of something even greater. It's just the beginning. And so he says, I'm going to restore the joy back into the house. I'm going to bring joy into a place where it was devoid. You know what joy enables us to do? See, this is why we need joy. We don't need joy just so because we can laugh and jump around. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, show the Colgate grin and, you know, yeah, we enjoy. That's good to do that. We're good. We had some happy times here. We have some good times here. Although over the Christmas holidays, there was some stuff that happened that really made me cry. First of all, was Benitra and Claire with that dance. Boy, broke me down. Broke me right down. And then the skit that the Longs did, they ain't here this morning, but the Longs did that skit. Man, that broke me down. I was like, it was like God was working on me. Broke me right down. I was just crying. I said, God, I came to church this morning because I'm happy. I'm just so happy to be here. I'm so full of joy. You, Lord, shall make my heart so overwhelmed with joy. But listen to me. Joy is not just for that. Joy is not just so we can be happy in that context. Joy enables us to see beyond our present situation. Joy enables us to see down the road and say, it's going to work out because God says it's going to work out. Joy enables you to see the beauty of what God is creating, not the problems of your circumstances, not the ugliness of your circumstance. You're able to look down the road and see what's coming. Because, listen, that's what Jesus said. That's what he said. Hebrews 12, it says, wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed by about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can I let you into a secret? It is the joy of the Lord that enables you to cross the finish line with victory, with confidence, with power. It is the joy of the Lord that will thrust you forward when you feel like quitting. Come on, somebody in here. Boy, y'all so quiet this morning. I think y'all get the gist of what I'm trying to say. Finally, very quickly, he restored joy, but it'll also start doing unbelievable things amongst us. In verse 7 it says, even them I will bring to my holy mountain, and I will make make them joyful in my house of prayer, and their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. And their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. The altar in Old Testament, the Old Testament times, the altar actually represented Jesus. That's what the altar represented. And he says, whatever I bring and put on the altar, God's going to accept. Well, that word acceptance is a little bit more powerful than just accept, like thank you. It's a glorious acceptance. You know what? Know what Jesus did? What Jesus is going to do when we bring anything to him, he's going to not just have it accepted, but what you bring to him, he will multiply it. He will make it bigger than it was when you brought it to him. When we take it out of our hands and put it into his hands, it becomes more significant than it was when it was in our hands. Remember when the disciples, they came, Jesus said to the disciples about the multitude, Brother Marlon, he said to them, they came, Jesus said, I want you to feed these people. And the disciples immediately started thinking about themselves, and they said, Lord, we ain't got but five loaves and how many fish?
Two.
How many?
Two.
Five loaves and two fish. And you know what they were doing? Man, I'm not giving them guys mine, though. This is for me. This is my fish sandwich. I had thoughts in my head about this fish sandwich the whole morning, and it's time for me to eat. I'm sorry. You're going to have to go somewhere else and get your own food. This is mine. See, the challenge for us, and God being able to move in amongst us unbelievably, is we have to put on the altar what we do have. But what we do have will cost us. And we have to get away from that position of just thinking about ourselves. Because if we want to see God do phenomenal things, it's got to be more than just about me. You know, I had my own epiphany experience. I had these hamburgers in my freezer. And they were jalapeno hamburgers. Whew! I only had two left. And my daughter, my youngest daughter, was here visiting. She's like me, Dad, like food. We like connoisseurs of food, right? So I'm cooking these hamburgers, and God says, leave one for your daughter. Lord, you asking me to give up one of my jalapeno burgers for Natasha? You want me to give it to her? That's what I said. I know you're trying me to prepare me for what I have to say, God, but not now. Let me go with just them burgers. And something came over me. And I know we have to think about it and remind ourselves about it, that this thing that we do is more than just about ourselves. But we often get stuck in the trap thinking about me. And so I made the hamburger for my daughter, and I said, that's it, let it go. I'm not going to tell you that was it. And Lord bless, because I kept thinking as that burger was sitting on the stove, I kept looking at it. My daughter came home and she ate the burger and she said, and this was the thing. She said, Dad, thanks. I was so hungry. And the people out there who are so hungry, who need what you have to be given to them. Listen what happened when Jesus, they put the sacrifice, they put them fishes that belonged to them and the loaves into the hands of Jesus. The Bible says he broke it and he multiplied it. And he gave out, everybody was fed, and he even had stuff left over. You know why the church struggles at times? It's because our minds are on ourselves. But when we give, God will have more than enough. Glory be to God for you and for everybody around you when we just simply give. And I'm not just talking about money. Yes, I am talking about money, but not just money. Our lives. Everything that we have about ourselves. Beloved, sometimes people say to me, how do you keep going, Vince? Why do you keep doing what you're doing? Because I have learned that if I give what I have, God will bless me with not just stuff. He will bless me with more of his presence. And I want him. More of him.
Yeah.
That's what we want. And so I decided I'm going to give everything I have. Because I want more of him, more of him. Not stuff, but him. And so, they put it in his hands and he made it something that it couldn't be without him. He wants to make us, listen, this is it and I'm closing. They put the fish and the loaves in his hands. You know what it's time for us to do, Sister Joe? To put ourselves in his hands. Because yes, there's going to be a breaking, but you better believe there's going to be an increase in your life. There's going to be more than what you used to be. How many of you want to be more for God than what you are right now? How many of you want God to do more in your life than he has done so far? I suggest that we put ourselves in his hands. And yes, there's going to be a breaking. Yes, at times there's going to be pain. But I guarantee you, you're going to be more from that experience than you ever could have been without it. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your heart. And God, we pray in the name of Jesus that as the days come, you will restore all those things that you promised for us, Father, as we keep our rest in you, as we choose, Father, to keep the Sabbath holy, our rest, to keep things holy, right with you, as we choose, Father, to give more to you, as we choose, God, to allow you to stir joy within our hearts. God, we're going to give you all the praise. And we're going to give you all the glory. I pray you would bless each and every one present today. And even those who are not here, God, give them their portion. Bless them abundantly, I pray. In the mighty and all-prevailing name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. And we're going to take up our morning offering. And then...